This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and I'm Jeff Sandhu. Earlier in February this year, Thales eSecurity sponsored a study by Ponemon Institute called the 2012 Global Encryption Trends Study. And here with me today to talk about encryption technology and to go through this study is Jiro Shindo, the Senior Product Manager APAC for Thales. Jiro, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what was the purpose of this research that was done? And, you know, the first encryption study was back in 2005. And how have things, you know, sort of changed?
I mean, clearly, I think what has changed is the legislation around data breaches and the protection of data. I think it has now become a huge issue for most companies, not just to protect the information, but also to protect their brand and prevent damage, as we've seen from recent data breaches. We've seen Vodafone, we've seen Sony. Major companies have been affected, and the main damage hasn't just been the information that's been leaked, but actually the damage to the brand itself.
And the purpose of doing it every year is to sort of remind ourselves?
It's actually to provide a benchmark, because as you know, technology never stops, and I think the amount of information, we've seen trends such as big data, cloud computing coming up, the amount of information that companies have control of is getting ever more larger. So the protection of that information and the technologies around it will change. So it provides a useful benchmark every year to see how the industry has evolved.
There are 11 key findings from this report, and based on these 11, you know, is there anything similar, you know, since 2005, and what's the general feel of this year's findings?
I think the general feel is it has changed a lot since 2005. In 2005, if you think, there were no such things as smartphones or iPads or bring your own devices into work. Most people were able to keep their information secret. Facebook was just coming up online, but now all information is shared. Governments as well have put into data breach notification laws so that companies can no longer hide the fact that data has been leaked, but must publicly announce it and then publicly say how they are going to protect the most critical part of any infrastructure, which is the data.
So encryption is edging its way beyond security operations level to more business level. Does this mean that organizations need to be more preemptive when it comes to their encryption solution needs?
Yes, I think if you encrypt, you're already preempting. You're saying that I want to protect this data and this data can no longer be read. So organizations who are looking at encryption are taking a valuable step forward. However, they must first of all classify what data they have in their organizations and give it a sensitivity level as to whether it should be protected and how it should be protected. I think what we're seeing a lot in the industry right now and with a lot of companies is they're trying to leap forward several steps ahead by encrypting everything and then finding out that they then have a problem with that kind of technology and how to manage the keys, the critical components which keep the data safe, how to manage those effectively.
The study is a global study, right?
Yes, and in seven countries, yes.
So how about the differences between the each country's adoption level per se, are they all similar?
It really does vary, and what we're finding is that compliance is certainly a driver, but it's also how valuable the people feel that the brand value of a company actually is. We see actually fluctuations. We see sometimes Germany comes out ahead in some of the components, sometimes the USA, and even Japan, which does implement encryption and has a very safe environment, come ahead in terms of their understanding of the technology, but perhaps actually the implementation is slightly different.
In Southeast Asia?
In Southeast Asia, the only country we did from this global survey was within Japan. But it is quite reflective. I mean, if we look, for example, in Malaysia, there are compliance regulations coming in. You've just had the ministry open the cybersecurity department. So the understanding of protection of data is becoming more relevant. However, talking to many banks and customers, I think they still are not quite familiar with database protection, actually protecting the data at rest. And I think that is something that will evolve very quickly over the next few years.
How big of a role do compliance mandates play when organizations across various vertical industries are trying to determine the best encryption deployment for their needs?
I think compliance is a driver for security, perhaps more so than it's ever been. In the United States, for example, they've implemented data breach notification laws. So any information, personal identifiable information that has been leaked, the companies must, by state law, reveal that they have been breached, which is a massive change from what it was six or seven years ago.
according to the study, aren't organizations more inclined to adopt an enterprise encryption plan or strategy rather than relying on an ad hoc requirements or informal policies?
Most of the compliance regulations are quite well thought out. One example is the PCI DSS, the Personal Cardholder Information Data Security Standard. That's actually a very good blueprint for any kind of data security, although they are quite focused on credit card information. What you're finding is organizations are actually adopting that policy corporate-wide to actually see how can we reinforce all aspects of our data security network. But you have to be very careful and be focused not just on the policies. Policies by themselves are just a mechanical way of imposing rules and regulations. But security and protection of data is actually very human. It's about the people who attack and the people who are defend. So you must have a more holistic approach to that security rather than just one governed by policies and regulation.
The policies are just part of being safe, but it's also human error is possible, right?
Yes, actually, one part of the survey actually showed that it's actually employees' mistakes which is actually the biggest reason why databases leak. And that's why you need a technology such as data encryption to actually protect that data in the event of human error. If your data is actually encrypted, and if you keep the keys which secure that encryption safe, then even if there is a breach, no data is revealed to the world, and therefore that saves your brand and reputation and liability, both personal and corporate.
I'm speaking to Jiro Shindo, the Senior Product Manager APAC for Thales, and in just a moment, we'll talk about the encryption maturity curve by Thales. This is BFM 89.9. Jeff Sandhu here, and with me today is Jiro Shindo, the Senior Product Manager APAC for Thales, and we are going through the 2012 Global Encryption Trend Study, and early on we spoke about some of the key findings. Jiro, legal and financial industries, for example, you know, they would have probably concentrate much more on encryption plans by the virtue of the sector in which they play than other vertical industries. So is this actually the case, or, you know, are there actually certain industries that are more encryption happy than others?
I think in terms of encryption, it's really there are companies that really understand what data is sensitive. So obviously financials, banks, and even hospitals are very aware of what they classify as sensitive data. So they have a very good starting point, a springboard, to then implement an effective encryption policy of knowing which data to encrypt and which not to. A lot of companies are starting, you know, to use Oracle database and Microsoft SQL, for example, which have only introduced encryption to their technologies in 2008, 2009. So for a lot of the industry, it is still a very new technology. I think what they don't understand is that encryption isn't just an on and off mechanism. You can't say we've encrypted our data and then it's safe. It's actually the management of these encryption keys, which is critical. Just like if you secure your house with all the best locks in the world, but leave the key for all those locks under the mat in front of your door. All of that security means nothing if that key, if you cannot trace who has access to that key. And of course, when you talk about encryption, you're talking about a lot of data, a lot of keys on your network. If they're stored merely in software, then they are open to attack, copying by USB, which is why a technology called hardware security modules is coming to the fore into managing those keys and storing them securely.
Let's explore what Thales has designated as encryption maturity curve, which is essentially a chart that trends, you know, towards increasingly sophisticated deployments of encryption that is moving beyond traditional laptop and network encryption to encryption of data in all applications.
I think when you talk about encryption, I think it comes in stages. I think the first stage is network encryption. Most people would never buy something from a website that doesn't have at least SSL secure sockets layer encryption across the net. So most people, I think, are to the stage where they secure their network with firewalls. So that's the first stage in maturity. The second stage is storing data. People are now using Brocade switches, HP, which will actually encrypt data at the storage level. I think what is new and where the maturity curve really hits is those who really understand the need for data classification, protecting data at the database level, data at rest and data in use. And I think this is where you're seeing more maturity from financials and banks who traditionally are always used to protecting data and protecting their customers. But now we have retailers, mobile application vendors as as well who are not used to this kind of level of security and are now having to implement in order to protect their brand.
Based on the study, what are the two top data protection priorities for today's organization?
I think today's protection is really about protecting the brand first and foremost, and that's really what is a driver. It should be security for its own sake. Yeah. But the brand damage, you've seen Sony, you've seen Vodafone only this week be damaged. Those are huge companies that can absorb these losses and fines that have been imposed. If you're a smaller company, if you're imposed by fines by PCI DSS, or you are just starting your business, that brand damage can end your business. And we've seen even established vendors of digital certificates fall down because they've had that level of security in place. Mm.
According to the study, what would you classify as some of the least important features of encryption technology solutions that people seem to be get most entangled with?
I think really when it is not having a firm basis to launch off, not really understanding what do they need to protect, why they need to protect. And what something that the survey has actually shown that the IT manager's influence in these decisions has slowly decreased, and the increase in the C level, your chief executive level, because if your brand is damaged, that's where it goes to, becoming more influential in how to protect your data. Legal side of your company becomes more involved because of the liability and loss of data. And if you get audited after a data breach, your whole business has to stop. So minimizing that risk for auditors to actually show them, yes, we protect our data with encryption, but we also manage the keys. The keys are stored securely. You know, I think this is quite an important factor in any business strategy.
Jiro, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you very much.
I've been speaking to Jiro Shindo, the Senior Product Manager APAC for Thales, talking about the encryption trends study based on the 2012 Global Encryption Trends by Ponemon Institute. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.